The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
He brought a gun to a fist fight. And he was too cowardly to use his own fist to fight his way out.
That's one of the prosecutors in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial yesterday in closing arguments, accusing the young man of being a coward because he didn't try to fend off the mob with his fists instead of the gun. Pretty amazing. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience, joining us for one of the fastest moving hours in broadcasting. You can get to the live stream of this show, the audio stream, through our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3. And, of course, you can get to the video version of this stream at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. Takes you to the stream page and also to the podcast that we post a couple of hours after the show each day so that you can watch it on demand if that's the way you would prefer to do it. Well, who's the real coward here? In fact, there's plenty of cowards to go around. Last year, this was the end of August 2020, and for three straight nights, Kenosha was just being torn to shreds, going up in flames, violence, burning, looting, and the police, they stood down. The National Guard, they were called off. I notice now the National Guard's getting ready for the verdict for this trial. I think they're about 15 months late. I think if law enforcement was in place, if the National Guard was in place, following the lies that the propagandists in the media told following the incident with Jacob Blake, if the National Guard's in place, none of this with Kyle Rittenhouse would have happened. But the leadership in Wisconsin, from the governor right on down, cowards. They were too cowardly to stand up to the mob. And so you had businesses calling on friends like Kyle Rittenhouse. Hey, can you help me guard my business so it's not destroyed? We played a clip last year. I remember it well. The man who owned the furniture store, hugging his mother, I think it was. He said he had had the store for 40 years in Kenosha. They burned it down. They burned it to the ground. Who can forget? Well, evidently, a lot of people have already forgotten. The car dealership, they're just smashing windshields right after another. Yeah, we got to do it for justice. We got to do it because Jacob Blake was shot. And he was unarmed. He was innocent. He wasn't resisting arrest. All of it, lies. Brought to you by the media. The media that are more concerned about the narrative than they are about the truth. So they told the lies. Law enforcement stood down. And Antifa did their thing. Not one night. Not two nights. Three straight nights. The whole city. We're supposed to just stand back and let it happen. You listen to some of these leaders, some of these radical communist left leaders, and that's, I guess, what they want. In fact, they just want you to submit to the will of Antifa, to submit to the will of the mob. No fighting back. Certainly no grabbing guns. You don't bring a gun to a fist fight. A fist fight. There were guns all over the place. In Kenosha, particularly as you got closer to that third night, Kyle Rittenhouse had a guy point a gun at him. What about that gun? Is he a coward for bringing a gun to the fist fight? Those prosecutors, of course, they're desperate because they know they haven't made their case. People can see the footage. People can view it for themselves. Rittenhouse running away from the mob and the mob chasing him down. I saw Joe Scarborough last week say that, yeah, he just came in. He wanted to kill people. He shot a guy with a skateboard. Oh, you mean the one that was using the skateboard to bash in Kyle's head? That one? That skateboarder? This is from Brendan O'Neill. He says, the more the trial has dug into the events of that fateful day of 25 August 2020, when a 17-year-old Rittenhouse fatally shot two men and injured another, the more we have seen just how cynical, partisan, and outright deceptive so much of the media coverage of this tragic affair has been. It's another indictment on the media. The media! We're reminded again of just how many lies we're told. It says, growing numbers of people, even some people on what passes for the left today, are watching the Rittenhouse trial saying to themselves, I didn't know these facts. I didn't know this is what happened. All I know is what Joe Scarborough told me last year. They don't know the facts. There's a few, not nearly enough, but there's a few, even in the communist left media, that are starting to pay attention to what really happened. The Chicago Tribune, there was a writer there who admitted that everything he'd read about Rittenhouse was wrong. He got it wrong. You may have seen the clip of that woman from the Young Turks. I mean, that's far to the left. That's communist left. Even she admitted she was wrong about her reporting on Rittenhouse initially. She just hopped on board with all the others, told the very same narrative. He was a white supremacist. Joe Biden himself said that. Joe Biden! He called Rittenhouse a white supremacist. Rittenhouse, who was involved in a shooting involving white people. Like Candace Owens said the other night. For once, our community could have just stayed out of this. The black community, she means. We weren't even involved. There were no black people involved in the incident. And yet they make it about race. These are some evil actors. They want to see American cities burn. They want to see civil war. They want to foment hatred. As I say, the Chicago Tribune and that gal from the Young Turks, they've fessed up, but the others, most of the others have just doubled down. It's all about the narrative. Fox, or rather Vox, I should say, big difference. Vox said Rittenhouse crying in court was a tried and true strategy for white men in trouble. See, it's about race. This is how white men get out of trouble. They cry. The Guardian, Kyle Rittenhouse isn't crying for those he hurt. His tears, tellingly, are for himself. CNN and MSNBC, I mean, they continue on. Like I said, the Scarborough quote was just from last week. And you see the way he frames it. He's trying to give an image that it was just a boy on a skateboard. And in comes Kyle and he guns him down. I mean, that's some kind of demonic activity to spin the story that way. It really is, like Jason Whitlock said. It's a war over the truth. And there's a lot of demonic activity that continue to tell lies, even when you know it's not true. They continue. O'Neill says this, too many journalists these days see themselves as crusaders for wokeness, as enforcers of correct thought, rather than as pursuers of the truth, wherever it might lead them. Newsrooms overrun by observers who have bought into the hyper-racial narratives of white privilege, black victimhood, 1619, and all the rest of it, have become less and less adept at coolly analyzing real-world events and objectively weighing up what happened. They don't do this anymore. They don't report the news. They don't gather the facts. It's all about crusading for wokeness. He says these people are not only estranged from the truth, they're also estranged from basic morality. And a lot of them lack even common sense. And yet they work for these, for organizations that, well, I read you a few quotes from those groups, Vox, The Guardian, and so on. Speaking of a crusader of wokeness, listen again to another one of the prosecutors in the closing arguments yesterday, clip 11.
You lose the right to self-defense when you're the one who brought the gun.
You lose the right to self-defense. If you bring a gun, you can't use it. You've lost your right to defend yourself because you have the gun. So it's obviously an obvious attack on the Second Amendment. Many commentators on the right have pointed this out. But there's more to this. There's much more to this. Listen again to this same prosecutor, clip one.
And every day we read about heroes that stop active shooters. That's what was going on here. And that crowd was right. And that crowd was full of heroes. That crowd did something that, honestly, I'm not sure I would have had the courage to do. If I see a guy running up the street with an AR-15 and I hear he just shot somebody.
That crowd, he says, was that crowd being Antifa and Black Lives Matter, it was full of heroes. They were trying to stop the white supremacist. That's a crusader for wokeness right there. But you see what this is about. It's about more than just even, hey, let's get rid of the guns. Let's go after someone's rights to defend themselves against an attack. This is about the soldiers for the communist left. You step out of the way. You give them space to destroy. You let them do whatever they want to do. What they want is for you to surrender to their will without a fight. So just step aside. If it's one night or two nights of looting and burning and riot, if it's three nights, you just let the mob do what they want to do. These are soldiers for the communist left, and they're mobilizing even as we speak. If they don't get the verdict that they want. Now, maybe this time around, the Wisconsin leadership will show a little bit more courage to send in the National Guard to keep control of the streets. But when that's gone, what are we left with? We're left with that incident last August, August 25th. That was a tiny preview of what's coming. It's a tiny preview of Ezekiel 4 and 5. You know about America. If you know anything about America, it's flooded with guns, with firearms, with rifles. Like the one that prosecutor, by the way, was pointing at the jury yesterday. With his finger on the trigger, but we'll leave that aside. He must have thought he was Alec Baldwin or something. Just pointing a gun, a rifle, at people in a room. What happens when all the guns are loaded and when people realize, you know what? The police, the National Guard, they're not going to be there anymore. And truly, and my father's written before about how that the communist left, they want all law enforcement to be federalized. And believe me, it's not like they're against law enforcement. They enforce their law. It's not the Constitution. It's communism. And they use their power. They use the DOJ to go after Steve Bannon, to go after the January 6th protesters, to go after grandma, but not the ones inciting the riotous behavior. Certainly not them. They're FBI informants. They're working for us. They impose their will using law enforcement agencies at the very top levels of government, but they want to see local law enforcement the local police officials, those are the ones that need to be defunded. Those are the ones that need to be handcuffed. Those are the ones that we need to move out of the way. Here's this prosecutor basically saying that the heroes are the thugs who were burning down the city of Kenosha. He says they were heroes. If you go back to Barack Obama, he said this right around the time of Kenosha last year. Listen to him. Listen to his take. I forget which presentation this was for, but this was his take on all the summer rioting that was going on just weeks before, just days before Obama gave this speech. This is clip two.
To the young people who led us this summer, telling us we need to be better, in so many ways, you are this country's dreams fulfilled.
You're the dreams. You're the dreams fulfilled of this country. You young people who led the way this summer, led the way destroying Minneapolis and Kenosha and New York City and Portland and Seattle. Seattle, remember, they set up an autonomous zone, the Antifa thugs. They were running several blocks of the city. Law enforcement was just completely shut out. And this is what they want. Anarchy. They want Antifa, remember. They're heroes. They should be left to roam the streets, to bash in windows, to burn down buildings, to loot and steal. And so over the past year, the movement to defund the police, there's been some pushback for obvious reasons. Skyrocketing crime rates, for one. But you've also had prosecutors, high-profile prosecutors or attorneys, generals coming into the states and really watering down the laws of the land. Well, we've got to kind of turn a blind eye to some of the more petty crimes. And so what has happened? This is from a piece at the Most Important News, Mike Snyder. He says, the level of lawlessness that we're now witnessing in the United States of America is absolutely breathtaking. It says, on average, thieves are stealing more than $100 million worth of merchandise from our retailers every day. Every day. And at this article or this posting, he's got all these links to videos of people just brazenly loading up their SUVs with big screen TVs, flat screen, all the gadgets in broad daylight. As you have people from the stores out on the sidewalk saying, you can't do this, or this is the reason costs are going up. And they just load up the car, they load up the truck, they load up the SUV, and they take off. Why? Well, because they're not being prosecuted. Look at San Francisco. Look at the videos, snippets of people just coming out of grocery stores or Walgreens. Bags and bags full of goods. Free for the taking. Free for the stealing. It says here, I have written extensively about the shoplifting epidemic that is plaguing this country. But even I didn't know that things had gotten this bad. Sadly, much of the thievery is being committed by highly organized gangs of looters. Last week, I posted an absolutely stunning video. Well, he talks about one of the incidents. It's like they're like professional looters. Now, look at what they were viewing last summer. They saw these people looting away with impunity. They weren't put in jail. They weren't arrested. Or if they were, Kamala Harris helped to get them out of jail. Meanwhile, you've got protesters that were meandering through the Capitol on January 6th, still rotting away in jail, still being tortured. That's right. Oh, the communist left loves to use law enforcement, but they've got to be woke. They've got to be woke. We have a article at the Trumpet. The featured article right about now. The radical left has hijacked the U.S. military. So they use the military. They use the DOJ. They used law enforcement. But if you're not woke, you got to be, I mean, you've got to be pruned out. You've got to take a leave. You've got to get out of office. You've got to get out of the military. You see the way that they're using the mandatory jabs and things of that nature. It's a good way to prune out the rebels the way they see it. This is the Hartford, Connecticut newspaper. It says, gangs of professional boosters have been snatching racks of clothing and other items for years, but the National Retail Federation reports in its most recent survey of retailers that more lenient penalties and prosecution policies are fueling a rise in such crimes. See, defund the police, and then make the penalties more lenient. Many states have increased the threshold of what constitutes a felony, which has had the unintended consequences of allowing criminals, to steal more without being afraid of stronger penalties related to felony charges. In a lot of cases, they're just misdemeanors. So they waltz right in and take what they want and they leave. Thanks to the more lenient penalties. This is from Bloomberg. It says retail theft is now said to be responsible for $45 billion in annual losses. Retail theft, $45 billion. And this blogger, he basically divides that out by 365 days and says, I mean, we're talking $120 million a day that people just waltz into stores and rip off. Snyder says in conclusion, this is the end result of decades of moral collapse in this nation. We just let evil continue to grow and grow, and now it's everywhere. You see, that's the way it was in Kenosha last year. It wasn't going away. And so shop owners finally started to bring firearms to protect their property. And in the case of Rittenhouse, he had the child rapist threaten him that night. I'm going to kill you. And that child rapist, by the way, he was using the N-word constantly, all night long. He's the hero. And just so that you know, Kyle Rittenhouse is the white supremacist. He hates black people. He hates minorities. The child rapist, he raped little boys multiple times, multiple incidents. Mentally deranged. He's threatening the life of Rittenhouse, using the N-word all night. And he, according to the woke prosecutor yesterday, he's a hero. And same with the mob that chased after Rittenhouse because they were trying to apprehend the active shooter. That's the way he tells the story. My father had an article back in 2016. The Roots of America's Dangerous Turn Left. It says, today we see and hear radical left groups chanting, you can't stop the revolution. And to that, add to that the explosive dynamic of dividing our races. People are preparing themselves for a violent overthrow of the American system. He goes on and talks about the prophecies, Isaiah 1, cities burning, the movement to defund or destroy the police. It says this is all part of the left's plan to destroy the police. You can't take over a government and run it unless you get rid of the police who are loyal to the system. So get rid of them. Get rid of any of them that would be disloyal to this communist revolution. You've got to know, everyone needs to know, that Antifa, the thugs that were destroying cities last year, they're the heroes. Give them space to destroy. Give them space to loot and burn. Give them space to commit murder. Yeah, they were doing that too. Give them the space they want. Step aside. Make sure law enforcement stands down. I mean, if we need to even burn down the police precinct, we got to do it. They did it in Kenosha. They did it in Minneapolis. Don't send in the National Guard. Certainly not. And if you take matters into your own hands, if you try to defend your property, if you actually use a firearm in self-defense, then you're the white supremacist. You're the domestic terrorist. Isaiah 5, he put it best, didn't he, the prophet Isaiah? Woe unto those calling evil good and good evil. Last night, well, I don't know if it was last night, but Tucker Carlson referred to it, this interview he posted with Robert Kennedy Jr., and he's been, just to follow on what we talked about yesterday, with all of these violent reactions to the vaccine injuries, the vaccine deaths even. And Kennedy has this book coming out about Fauci, by the way, the real Anthony Fauci. I've got that on order. I think it comes out here in a week or two. In any event, here's what he had to say about the VAERS system that tracks all of the incidents of vaccine injuries and deaths. Clip 9.
There have been 17,000 deaths reported to VAERS from the COVID vaccines. And that's more deaths in the last 8 months than all of the deaths from all vaccines, the billions and billions of vaccines combined over the past 30 years. So this vaccine appears to be killing more people than all vaccines combined.
It's more deadly than all other vaccines combined over the past 30 years. And you know, that 17,000 figure from VAERS, I believe that was from August. So it'd be nice to get an update to see where we are today. But he went on to say how that the VAERS system is far from perfect and how that it underreports incidents by as much as 99% because most people don't even care to report it or they don't think to do it. Or maybe they're like that mountain biker that I played the clip from yesterday where when he brings it up, he gets attacked. Well, you're lying. You're an anti-vaxxer. You're part of the problem. It's the same spirit of lies and deception, like you see with respect to the violence and the burning and the looting. This is from London Business. It's referring to Gibraltar, the most vaccinated region on Earth. They've got over 99% of their population vaccinated. It says here, due to exponential rise in cases, Gibraltar cancels official Christmas celebrations. 99% vaccinated. And they've got a runaway wave of COVID cases at the moment. The article says, the government are strongly urging people to exercise their own judgment and are being advised to stay clear of any social events for at least a month. The health minister has described the situation as drastic and people are being urged to get the booster jab. Just like Fauci said yesterday. You've got sickness all over the place, the virus, the variants, whatever. And the solution? Get another jab. 99% have gotten the jabs. They've gotten vaccinated, and it hasn't stopped the spread of COVID. So who logically would say, well, the answer then is to get more of the vaccine, more of the toxic substance, more of the gene therapy, more of the spike protein. This is how the experts reason today. Listen to this. I just stumbled upon this looking at some of the older shows from last year. I remember how stressful it was just reporting on what was happening to the whole world as it went into lockdown in March of 2020. This clip is from our own program. You'll see the old Ed Stone. I say old only in the sense that we're not there anymore, but it's a beautiful, beautiful studio at Ed Stone. But this is from the Ed Stone studio, March. This is from March 20th in 2020, clip 8. I'm still working to try to put all the pieces together, but the more you look into it, the more you can see that we have been, once again, we have been lied to. We're not getting the truth. We're not getting the full truth. We've been lied to. We didn't know all the details back then. That was just a week into the lockdown. 15 days to slow the spread. And you heard it. You heard it probably first on this program. No, we're being lied to. We're under attack. Now it's so clear. Now it's so obvious. You can see it. A lot of people can see it, in fact. Yesterday, as I said, Fauci, he's basically admitting, yeah, the vaccine hasn't worked the way that we thought, so get a booster. Well, that's what the London Business piece said for those in Gibraltar. Get a booster. Listen to Fauci. This was in a, I think it was an interview with Ted Koppel, just released yesterday, clip 4.
Well, one of the things that to me was most difficult to accept is that we put together a good plan for how we were going to try and dampen down the spread of infection early on, thinking that that was accepted by everybody. And then the next day, the president saying free Michigan, free Virginia. I didn't quite understand what the purpose of that was, except to put this misplaced perception about people's individual right to make a decision that supersedes the societal safety. That, to me, is one of the things that I think went awry in all of this.
That's Fauci showing his true colors. He's talking about Donald Trump there at the beginning of the clip. We put together this good plan, and then along comes Donald Trump saying, we got to free these states. We've got to respect individual liberties and freedoms, like the Constitution says. We had this plan, and look, to me, he talked about the individual rights to make a decision that supersedes the societal safety. I mean, spoken like a true communist, it's societal safety we've got to be concerned about. And here we are, 600 and whatever, 7, 8, 9 days later. And he's hearkening back to last year saying, we had a good plan. Well, you people lied from the very beginning. And you flip-flopped. You flip-flopped on everything. And now here they are. They look back and say, yeah, it was great. It was great. Just like they look back at the summer of 2020 and the billions and billions of dollars in damage and the lives lost. And the livelihoods lost. And the people killed, murdered. And they say, that was great. Obama says, you know, we hear you. We hear your message loud and clear. You people are the heroes. You're the heroes. One more bit from Fauci, clip 5.
Did you ever raise that with President Trump?
You know, I didn't have the opportunity to raise it. I was sort of like shocked. And then I didn't speak to him for some time after that. But it was at that point that I realized that I would have to just get out there myself and say things that clearly were going to be contradictory.
So he didn't really confront Donald Trump directly, but he started to become more outspoken in his press conferences and such. Donald Trump, he caused a lot of problems. He tried to disrupt our plan, but boy, we had a good plan, and it's still working out great. Yeah, maybe it didn't stop the spread as much as we thought, these vaccines. But that just means we just got to get the booster every 4, 5, 6 months, no problem. That's what they're saying in Gibraltar. 99% have been vaccinated, and now those people are being told, hey, stay home. 99% vaccination and then more lockdowns on top of it? Oh, yes. And boosters. Of course. Listen again to our program. This is a year and a half old. This was right in the first few days of the plandemic. That's what it was. It was a plan. It was an attack. It was a bio attack. Bio warfare. And the radical left, the communist left, used it. They're still using it today. They used it to take out Donald Trump. And they're also using it to amass more power. But listen to what we were saying. This is March 20th, 2020, clip 7.
Well, the cure is far worse than the disease. That's what we've been pointing out this past week. As bad as the disease might be, the cure, all of these extreme draconian measures put in place, look at the impact. America's still under attack.
It didn't stop because of the election in November of 2016. It's still being attacked. The goal here is to blot out America, to blot out the administration. And so that's why you see this concerted effort to make the country more chaotic.
That's from March 20, 2020. You know, I think it's interesting, too, to just go back. I stumbled upon these other clips here from just looking at some of the Kenosha notes that we had from last August 2020. This was what President Trump had to say on August 24th last year, clip six.
Right.
Yeah.
What they're doing is using COVID to steal an election.
Right.
They're using COVID to defraud the American people, all of our people, of a fair and free election.
He was completely right. They used COVID to steal the election. Listen to him speak more broadly about the communist left and their destructive aims. This is clip three.
If we don't win, it's all gone. Okay? It's all gone. And we mentioned, have to mention life, all gone. Second Amendment, gone. It's all gone. And many other things. It will be a totally different country, and ultimately it will fail. It will fail. It can't work. Economically, it can't work. So the damage that they inflict will not just last a year or an election cycle. It will echo for generations, and we may never be able to escape, no matter how great our future leaders. We may never, ever escape from the damage that will be inflicted if the radical left takes over the presidency. We may never be able to...
That, as you can see there, is August 21st, 2020. There he is again, predicting the damage, the destruction that a radical communist leftist government would inflict. And now here we are, 10, 11 months into this illegitimate administration, and the damage is everywhere. The destruction, it's just like those riots in Kenosha or Minneapolis. That's like a metaphor for what's happening right across the board in the United States of America today. And of course, all the poll numbers, they show it. People know. Americans know. But as far as the radical communist left is concerned, I mean, this is all part of the plan. It's all part of the attack. And when the city goes up in flames behind you, it doesn't matter. You're still heroes. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program with some feedback, you can write us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times, but it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
In one of my college classes here recently, we talked about Christ's gospel message and the Jewish leadership that Jesus encountered during his first century ministry. And they think about what those Pharisees and Sadducees witnessed, all of these teachings straight from God, the parables that he spoke, the miracles that he performed. A lot of people witnessed that ministry and that Pharisaical leadership. They totally misunderstood the gospel message that they heard. They misunderstood the timing and the nature of God's kingdom, when it would be established, how that this kingdom that Jesus spoke of everywhere that he went, it was not of this world. He told that to Pilate as well. So people don't, Mr. Armstrong brings this out in Mystery of the Ages, this book that if you don't have a copy of, make sure that you request today. But he explained in there that people don't understand what was really motivating Pharisaical opposition to Christ's gospel message. And really the world of traditional Christianity still misunderstands this truth, why there was Pharisaical opposition. And because of this, they misunderstand the truth of the gospel. Jesus came into Galilee. Well, let's just read it. Let's go to Mark 1 and verse 1. You see a lot today in the world of traditional Christianity about, or you hear a lot about Christ or about Jesus. And even on that subject, they so many of them get it terribly wrong. But you hear nothing, virtually nothing, about the message of Christ. What he proclaimed, the message he taught. This is Mark 1 and verse 1. It says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." So this was the beginning. And of course, Satan was working from the very beginning to try to stamp out this message. I was going through some of this in Principles of Living this morning. We covered it last week as well. Simon Magus, that history in Acts 8. How that he bewitched all of the people of Samaria. And Peter discerned, the Apostle Peter, he looked at Simon Magus and said, you're going to be like poison to the church of God. He took the grace of God and turned it into a license to disobey God, to disobey God's laws, to just go and live any old way. And then to come in and say, you know what? God's grace covers all. So really, I'm religious. There's a lot of people who live that way. Jesus' gospel was about the coming kingdom of God, which is what we've been talking about in some recent programs. The kingdom of God, which is the family of God, administering the government of God over all the earth. That was his gospel, Jesus Christ. And that's a message that the devil hates. 2 Corinthians 4 says he's blinded the world to the light of the glorious gospel. Did you know that there's modern translations of this verse, Mark 1 and verse 1, that says, "The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ." They just go in there, the modern translators, they like a gospel about Christ. So they just insert the word "about." What does the King James say? "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ." I mean, that's a huge difference. Well, which is it? Is it the gospel of Christ, or is it a gospel about Christ? Those in the world of traditional Christianity, they want it to be about Christ. That's why you hear nothing about the message that Jesus proclaimed. Notice verse 11. It says, "And there came a voice from heaven saying, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." Just gives a very brief synopsis of what happened there in this titanic confrontation. You can read a lot more about that in Matthew chapter 4, the battle between Jesus Christ and Satan the devil. Mr. Armstrong says this in Mystery of the Ages. Again, if you don't have this book, call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. and request Mystery of the Ages today. A quote from Mystery, it says, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, had qualified. He's commenting on these verses here in Mark 1. Christ went into the wilderness, was tempted of Satan or tested. He confronted the devil. And then finally, at the end of it, you can read in Matthew 4, the devil was obeying Jesus' orders. Get thee hence, said Christ. It says, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, had qualified. Never until that minute could the good news of the coming kingdom of God be announced to the world. Now the Son of God resisted and conquered Satan, had qualified to reestablish God's government and to set up the kingdom of God on earth. It says, but now the church must also qualify to rule with him. So he had qualified, and so at that very moment then, at that moment, he started to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God because he qualified to be the king to replace Satan on the throne of this earth. It says in verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. The time was at hand. Now is the time to begin to start teaching disciples, students, who could then receive the training, and like Mr. Armstrong says in Mystery of the Ages, to also qualify to rule with Christ. It says here in verse 15, again, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. This is the gospel message that Christ proclaimed in Luke 4 and verse 43. Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. God sent Jesus Christ to preach the kingdom of God. And as I say, the time was now fulfilled because Jesus had qualified to replace Satan on the throne of this earth. He had qualified to become king over the kingdom of God. This is the good news message that Jesus brought into Galilee. This is the good news. That's what the word gospel means. This is the good news that Jesus brought to this earth. And did humanity receive it? Well, if they would have received this, it would have solved all the problems of this world. But they didn't receive it. They rejected it. He brought the light of the glorious gospel of the kingdom of God to this earth. And men rejected it because, as John 3 says, men love darkness. They love lies and deceit. After that, John was put in prison. Notice this, just speaking of new translations. This is the New International Version. Let me read verse 14 again from the King James. Now, after that, John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Here's what it says in the more modern translations. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Well, they don't even keep the word kingdom in. They change gospel to good news, and at least that's what it means. But they just take out the word kingdom. How do you do that? Unless you're trying to blot out the truth. The NIV is not alone in altering the scriptures. There's a devil, a god of this world, that's behind that sort of thing. Yeah, just it's all about the narrative, after all, right? Well, just go in there and write what you want. You go in there and make the gospel what you want it to be. You tell the story about Kenosha. You tell it the way you want it to be. You tell us who the heroes are and who the villains are. Matthew 4 and verse 23, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. This is from Mystery of the Ages again, another quote. It says, Jesus proclaiming of this amazing future news combined with his miracles of healing, turning water to wine and others, caused great excitement. Immense crowds followed him and his disciples. He was teaching his disciples to become the future apostles. while he preached the message to the public. He went about, it says in Matthew 9, to all cities and villages, teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It says it all throughout the gospels. But then notice, as we fast forward a little bit to Paul's epistle to Galatia, I think he wrote this around 50 AD. It's one of his earlier epistles, the book of Galatians. So we're barely two decades into the true church. And it says here in Galatians 1, let me just move ahead to verses 5 and 6. It says, to whom be glory forever and ever, speaking of Christ. I marvel, verse 6 says, that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul just couldn't believe how quickly the people of God turned away from the truth, fell away from the truth, and to another gospel. And he goes on and says in the next few verses that if you turn to any other gospel, whether it comes from a man or an angel even, any other gospel than the one Jesus preached, then you're going to come under a double curse. I mean, this is serious, right? Read Galatians 1. Read 2 Corinthians 11 about the great religious counterfeit that Satan the devil raised up as a counterfeit to God's true church. Notice Acts 1. I just read this earlier today, Acts 1. You see what the disciples' minds were on? You can see it in Matthew 24 when they, like I said yesterday or in a previous program, they were asking him about the end of the world and when he would return to this earth. Their minds were on the second coming of Christ. And you don't even hear about this today in the world of Christianity. Look at Acts 1 and verse 6. It says, and when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel or the kingdom to Israel? He had been crucified and then now resurrected. He is about to ascend to heaven. And they asked Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus, will you set up the kingdom now? Verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power, verse 8 says, after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Just witness for me. Don't worry about the time or the season, but witness for me. Just like Matthew 24:14 says, preach the gospel around the world as a witness, as a warning. And then the end will come. I mean, that gospel went right around the world during the ministry of Herbert Armstrong. You can read about the gospel, the true gospel, in Mystery of the Ages, the very last chapter in this book, the mystery of the kingdom of God. It's a mystery in this world. People don't understand this. They don't preach it. The Sunday preachers, they don't talk about the kingdom of God. They spiritualize it away and make it out to be something that's just in your heart. That's not the way the first century disciples thought. They asked him, Lord, are you going to set up the kingdom now? Just as you said you would? Just as so many of these prophecies say will happen? It's not going to be right now, said Christ, but get out there and preach the true gospel. The disciples in these last days, they have that same mission. They have that same sense of urgency. And of course, they have that same excitement level for the soon coming kingdom of God to be established on this earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to order Mystery of the Ages, the number 1-866-930-3024. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.